ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, Text Number 63, page 847 I've got here. Jai. That's a long time. I got a garland from Gopinath. I must be doing something, right? Yes. Thank you, Gopinath. Jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Please repeat. Iti te jnanam agyatam gujat gujataram maya vimshrisha etat aseshena yata ichasi tata kuru iti te jnanam akyatam gojat gojatarang maya vimshre tat aseshena vimshreyetat aseshena Vim shreye tat aseshena yetat shashi tathakuru yate shashi tathakuru iti te jnanam akyatam gojat gojatarang maya Vim shreye tat aseshena Yate chasi tathakuru Iti te jnanam akyatam Gujat gujatarang maya Vimshreye tat aseshena Yate chasi tathakuru Iti te jnanam akyatam Kuja kuja tarang maya Vimshriye tat aseshena Yate chasi tathakuru Iti te jnanam akyatam Kuja kuja tarang maya Vimrishya tat aseshena Yate chasi tathakuru Dr. Troy? Oh, I see. Okay. You want to try it or skip it? Okay. Iti te jnanam akyatam Gujat gujatarang maya Tat Aseshena Vimrishya tat aseshena Tata Yate chasi tata kuru Iti Das Te Unto you, jnanam, knowledge, akyatam, described, gujat, then confidential, gujataram, still more confidential, maya, by me, vimshrishya, deliberating, etat, on this, Asheshena fully. Yata as. Itchasi you like. Tata that. Kuru perform. Translation. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the words yate chashi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Om agyanati mrandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurumilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadama Yang Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatang Sakana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutang Parichana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasari Ghora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ishvara, Ite te jnanam akye tang, gujat gujat rang maya, vimshretat asheshena, yate chasi tata guru. So we're just repeating this verse, and then Prabhu didn't have his glasses. But the idea of this repeating actually is to learn the verse. And what we should take away from this verse, minimum, is the last sentence. Prabhupada repeats it in the purport. Yate chashi tata kuru. And we can remember this because it's quite funny. You can say it to someone. Like if you're a manager and you tell somebody, Prabhu, if you could please, mop this floor. I'm very busy, and if you could, because it's very, tomorrow it's Jamastami. And then you can say, yate chashi tata kuru. Now you deliberate on this fully. You decide what to do. I'm just begging you. I have to go now. You decide what to do. Yate chashi tata kuru. I just look in the purport. You can look at it again. Prabhupada says, the words yate chashi tata kuru, as you like, you may act. So this is Prabhupada's perfect translations. And Prabhupada, it's interesting that he doesn't say Krishna in the purport. It's very kind. It's very nice. It says, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. So it's a very broad statement. It's a very big statement. And it just goes to show how kind Krishna is. So yeah, we should. I also forgot about this, but Prabhupada many times refers, maybe not many times, but at least several times refers to this. Yatecha Sita Taguru. He explains. He quotes this verse to explain that we have a free will. We can do what we want, and even God is there. I mean, I know myself. I sometimes go to somebody, Prabhu, please, you have to do this. But Krishna is not like that. He is detached. Chateja si tatakuru. Prabhupada translates it here. In the translation, he says, then do what you wish to do. And the purport says, as you like, you may act. Chateja si tatakuru. As you like, you may act. It's up to you. I'm giving you the knowledge. You know, what I'm saying, it's the best. And that Prabhupada also says, huh? He says, before surrendering, one is free. That is at the end of the purport. One is free to deliberate on the subject as far as the intelligence goes. So first point is, of course, that our intelligence is, like ourselves, is limited. We are limited. 1/10,000th of the part of a hair. Very tiny speck of consciousness. Of course, it's very, very powerful, because this consciousness is, this soul is made of Satchit Ananda Vigra. It's spiritual. So it, like you have these atom bombs, you know. So these atom bombs, I don't know exactly how it works, but the idea is that they split atoms. So it's still material, of course, but just imagine that if you start splitting atoms, what power you can get. So just imagine how powerful this soul can be. You know, it can blow up a whole universe. Soul is very, very powerful. But now it's covered. It's covered by, well, mainly by false ego. False ego is the, you have several layers around the universe. We discussed this in the 13th chapter. You have 24 elements. You know the 24 elements, Aryan?
Yes.
Okay, please tell us the 24 elements.
Water, fire, earth.
Air, ether.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's eight. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you, because I have studied this, and I'll show you how you can remember it. So there's, and you have to understand, these eight that you just called, they're also around the universe, starting with earth, then water, fire, air, ether, and then mind, intelligence, false ego, and every layer is 10 times more big. So the first layer, earth, is 10 times bigger than the universe. So according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the universe is 4 billion miles. But then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quotes his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Prabhupada, who was actually a great astrologer, but he just renounced it. And he translated this book, Surya Siddhanta, and it's a messenger, I think, that King Surya, the sun god, he sent to someone. I forgot who it was. And this messenger is talking, this Surya Siddhanta, and it's about the universe, the different distances, like from the earth to the moon, and things like that. And from that book, Bhaktisiddhanta says that the universe is something like 18 quadrillion miles, which comes to about 5,000 light years, which is still very small, actually, because the Milky Way is 100,000 light years. So how exactly these things, how we have to understand them, I don't know. What I do know is that Einstein also said that time and space is relative. You know? And we know this from the Vedas, eh? That Lord Brahma, if you spend Bhakta Geert, he had done the math one time. I think he said 1 minute, either 1 minute or 1 second of Lord Brahma is like, I don't know, it was something like 5,000 years. Yeah, Lord Brahma lives very, very long, and there the time goes very slow. There is this story that this devotee goes to Lord Brahma for a few minutes, and then he comes back, and then all his family is died. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, that also is described in the Vedas. You know, because there is Sanskrit, and because it's Krishna book, but it's actually from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I think it's like, I'm not sure, but there's different. One moment sometimes is defined as 1/8 of a second, I think. Like you have this verse, which is actually a famous verse. Sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi, loba matra, sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoi. Loba matra means a moment. And that is generally defined like 1/12 of a second or 1/8, I forgot, something like that. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, it's explained. It's not so important, but the point I'm trying to explain is that the time is relative. And Einstein explains that time and space are relative. So time is related also to space. I also know from Sadaputta's book, he used to be our greatest scientist. He used to work for NASA. And at some stage, actually, Prabhupada says, I don't answer any more questions about the moon. I leave it up to the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Or he didn't say that. There's a letter like that. He said, I leave it up to Sadaputta and I think Swarup Damodar. He called like three names that were basically heading up the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And in the Surya Siddhanta also is explained that the moon is actually closer to the earth than the sun. But it's, if you have the Bhumandal is a disk. It's a higher dimensional disk in the middle of the universe. And the earth is part of that Bhumandal. And on that Bhumandal there's also like Himalayas. And they're 50,000 kilometers high. But they're higher dimensional. That's how Sariputta explains it. And on that, compared to that disk, the moon is further away than the sun. The moon is 200,000 yojanas. Let's say that this is the disk, this temple floor. And the sun is 100,000 yojanas. But it's described that the sun is there with the chairs. Let's say the earth is here. The sun is there with the chairs, and the moon is like here. So it's further away from the Bhumandal, because the sun is like there. But from the earth, the sun is further away. This is also confirmed by the Surya Siddhanta, and they have practically the same numbers as the scientists. Surya Siddhanta says the sun is 93 million miles, and the Surya Siddhanta also says that the scientists say the same thing. And the moon, I don't know what it was, a few hundred thousand miles, 100,000 miles, or something like that, which is also confirmed by the Surya Siddhanta. Anyway, but time and place is relative. So, another thing I wanted to say is that there's descriptions given also in the Shastra about Lord Shiva, and he's as big as Holland, or maybe even as big as the Benelux. So some other, when he comes down, then he shrinks. So there's descriptions of Lord Shiva like that. So, and there's also descriptions like, if you look at Greek mythology, that the gods are always like depicted as very big, and that they're looking down on us like ants. So that is confirmed there. You see that some other these demigods they're bigger some other. So how these things exactly work? We're like ants, you see, compared to them. Like ants, they cannot figure out how their bui is made up. You understand? They have an idea. Oh, there is a human being. Let's attack him. You know, which is of course also silly. Because if we want, we just take a blowtorch and we just burn the whole ant hill. You know. But that is how we think. We think, oh, Lord Shiva, we can attack him, you know. But it's just... Anyway, I'm just trying to explain to you that we cannot understand these things. It's very difficult for us to understand. How did I get there? Where were we? Pratijana priyoshime. That I was explaining that, right? And I was explaining that we should learn these verses. Then how did I get there? I forgot. Yeah. Oh, no, here, yeah. Now we were talking about the 24 elements, now I remember. I said that the main reason why we are covered is due to false ego. And I was trying to explain that the false ego is the subtle element, most subtlest element. And to give you an idea how it is such a powerful element is to explain to you how the universe is constructed, that we are packed up. It's called Durga. Very difficult to get out. It's like a prison house. You cannot escape. How can you escape? Like, I just try to give you an explanation how big the universe is. It's huge. We don't really know how it works. Actually, that is another point I want to say, that I think Sukadeva Goswami mentions it, that you cannot understand how this universe is constructed, because it's very, very complicated. It's not so 1, 2, 3 ABC, you know? Yeah, how do you know how you digest food? Yeah, it's very intricate. Like a cow, he's eating just a little bit of grass, or maybe he eats a lot of grass, and then he makes milk. How can you do it? You know, it's very intricate. And the milk also, he produces very powerful milk, you know. It's not the same as goat's milk. It's not the same. Anyway, how did I go to the cows now? I'm a little tired, Bruce. Please help me. Yeah, that universe, that it's very difficult. So I'm bringing from very big, I'm bringing it to very small. Just to give you an idea that even very small things that are in front of our eyes, we cannot really explain them. Like Prabhupada says, the scientists, they say, life comes from matter. So Prabhupada says, here's the egg, you know, here. So make the chicken. Make the chicken, you know. Make the grass. Make one piece of grass. Make it and make it grow. You see, this is all. But the thing is, we don't have any brains. You see, you and me were devotees. I see you thinking, you know, and I'm also like you. Still, I'm saying it. Still, we cannot fully understand. But Prabhupada says this is because we have no brains. But if you think about it, it's ridiculous that we think that life comes from matter. And Prabhupada, one of the examples Prabhupada gives, he says, you have a father, your father has a father, this is the proof that God exists. You show me anybody without a father. Everybody has a father. So there is an ultimate father. There must be. This is logic. Prabhupada says, this is the proof. So this whole theory is ridiculous. Because theory means you can show it. And there is proof and you can repeat it. And there is evidence. So there is evidence that everybody has a father. So there is no reason to believe that there is something that doesn't have a father. Where is the example? That where is something that doesn't have a father? Because that's what they're saying. This universe doesn't have a father. It was coincidence. And Sariputta also explains that what they are actually saying, because now they are coming with quantum physics. So quantum physics, I don't know so much about it, but the idea is that there's billions of universes, and this universe happens to be the lucky one. So this is how they explain it away, this chance. You know, that there was billions of universes, and by that the chance came that this happened. So Sariputta explains that the way they explain it, it's actually not scientific anymore. Because the chance that it happens like that, the way they explain it, is very, very small. So it's so small, that chance, they can actually give you the math, that it's not any more scientific. It's like completely random. Because completely random means unscientific. Right? Scientific means there is an order, there is a logic. Anyway, so if you think about these things, and last but not least, of course, is that Krishna gives this example. You were a young boy, you were a baby, then a young boy, then an old man. This is reincarnation right in front of your eyes. But Sautra Maharaj explained that we're like goats, you know. They see the other goats, they're being slaughtered, but he's just, you know, eating his grass, and he sees his friends being slaughtered, but he can't put it together. He cannot put it together that, oh, they're being slaughtered. He's just, so he's seeing it. So we're like you and me, we're hearing it, but we We can't really understand it, and that's why we need to do devotional service. Because just reading it, just me telling you, it's not enough. We need to get purified. And then gradually, like I'm doing this now, 16 years, almost 15 years, gradually more and more you start to understand this example of Krishna, and you start to understand how foolish this all this theory is. But it's very, these demons, they are very, very intelligent in one sense. You know, they're like empowered by Maya. What is that verse? There is like four people. Maya Parita Jnana. There's four people that don't come to Krishna. And one of them is the Maya Parita Jnana. Ones whose knowledge has been stolen by Maya. So in other words, you can also say they're empowered by Maya. Maya has empowered them to confuse themselves and others. That is what the scientists are doing. Anyway, so that just to give you some idea how intricate this world is, that is not so easily explained. At the same time, Prahlada Maharaj was saying, it's very easy. You have the soul, you have the super soul, and you have matter. And that's it. That's all there is. So in another sense, it's very simple. But I am getting more into the details. How it actually works, nobody knows. Really, no, not even Lord Brahma knows. Only Krishna knows. So anyway, so just to explain, so I was speaking about the ego, and one of the things I wanted to explain is that it's the last layer. So first you have earth layer, then water, and every layer is 10 times bigger. So just imagine you go through an earth layer, you know, 14 billion miles long or whatever the distance is, because I already tried to explain that these 4 billion miles which is in the Bhagavatam might be like demigod miles. You see, like the 5 minutes of Lord Brahma, like that, these 4 billion miles might be understood like that. Why otherwise Prabhupada would quote his own Guru Maharaj and contradict this number and put it 5,000 light years? You know, which I already explained is also very, very small number, so that needs also more research how to understand it. But the point is that it's huge. Even 4 billion miles is huge. So then you get 40 billion miles, then 400 billion miles of water. I mean, you ever tried going underwater and holding your breath? You can maybe do 10, 50 meters, right? Then you're completely, you think you're dying. I don't know what the record is, but it cannot be more than 50 meters, maybe 100. 100 meters. So we're talking like at least 40 billion miles of water. That's the second layer. Then you have a third fire, 400 billion. So then it goes on. You see air. You know, just air. Then ether, there's no air. It's like space, you know. And then after ether, there's mind. So I don't know exactly how that works. I have been told that there's even also planets there. Like sort of heavenly planets. Then you have the intelligence. Then false ego. That's like the biggest. Then some scriptures say there is even more layers beyond that. So Just because I want to teach you something, and I really like this stuff, so I'll teach you now a little bit about these, and then I'll try to get a little bit into the purport. But this is how you, I think I explained to you already, but this is how you can remember these 24 elements. So there's 5 main elements, and then these 3 also, you know. So these 3, we just put them aside for now. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Okay. I don't know exactly how it works, because in the Bhagavatam, and I'm a little bit rusty, I should read it again, but in the Bhagavatam it's explained how it comes down into the universe. But what I do know is these 5 layers, and it starts with ether. So ether is related to sound. Like you have radio, they say radio, you transmit through the ether. You understand? So that is related to the ear, hearing. So that's the first. Of course, it comes after false ego. And another thing, just to make you see the order, is that in the spiritual world, huh? Yeah, but I want to introduce it a little bit more. In the spiritual world, what I understand, you generally fall down because of false ego. This is where it starts. You think like, why is Krishna having all the girls? Or, you know, I think you should do it like this, Krishna. Oh, yeah, really? Well, I see you're very intelligent. Maybe you should manage this universe for me. And, oh, yes, thank you. And then you're not Brahma. You see? You're not Brahma because you think you know better than Krishna, you know? So we don't know how it happened, but something went wrong in our brain, and it happened. And that's how it's explained. It's due to false ego. It's envy to Krishna. This is false ego. Because real ego is, I'm your servant, Krishna. Like Pranam Maharaj said, he says jump, and you say how high? How high you want me to jump? That is das. Actually, Ravindra Swarup explained, das actually means slave. Because das still has some independence, servant. But slave really doesn't have independence. Of course, when we think slave, we think of like Roman slaves in, you know, rowing the boat. But in the Vedic culture, the slaves were actually treated very, very good. They were never mistreated. So you should more think it like that. And we can see what happens if you become Krishna's slave. You know, Arjuna, Krishna becomes Arjuna's servant. So this is Krishna. Anyway, so that is how it starts, false ego, and then intelligence becomes polluted, then mind, so, and then this ether. So that's how it starts, hearing, then air. Air is the skin. Air is related to wind. Understand? And the point is, you can hear air. Like ether, you cannot feel it. There is no wind. I mean, in the Bhagavatam it says there is wind between the planets, but that is a special wind. Generally, between the planets there is ether, and the substance ether doesn't have any wind. There is no... You cannot breathe. But in air there is wind. You can feel it. You can hear it, of course, but you can also feel it. But ether also you can hear it, but you cannot feel it. Are you still following this? So that is related to skin. And it's also related, actually, for your information, to sex life. Skin is related to sex life. That's why ghosts, they cannot feel, because they have no skin. So skin, air. So if you have bad skin, somebody told me, that means you had too much illicit sex in your previous life. Anyway, I don't know if it's true, but it makes sense. So skin, air, then the third one, water. Because air is like, you can also imagine, like clouds, then you have water. Huh? No, first fire, you're right. Because fire is form. Yeah, very good. Fire is form and it heats up. This is how I understand it. And then you get like water. And the fire is, it has sound and it has, you can touch it. It is very painful. But it doesn't have any taste, which is what water has. And fire is related to the eyes. Eyes. Sometimes they also say that we wear glasses, like you and me, we have glasses. Sometimes they say it's because of bad diet. And the stomach also is fire. It also has to do with the digestion. All the Ayurveda is based generally on digestion. If the vata, pitta and kapha is balanced. Anyway, that's another thing. I haven't studied that very much. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that's. Let me first do water. So then you have fire. The way I understand it is it heats up and then you get water. And water has taste and is related to the tongue. You still following it? Where was I? Ears, skin, eyes, tongue. And then the last one is earth and it has aroma. It has smell. Water doesn't have a smell. If you smell water, it's like something earth. Like you have like some fruits inside the water or some sugar. You don't smell, or like the water of the sea, you smell, oh, I smell the sea air, but it's the salt you smell. You don't smell the water. And the salt is earth. So the earth has aroma. It has smell and it's related to the nose. So are you following it? Five elements, five senses. Five sense objects, that's 15. Yeah, I'll just repeat them quickly for you. Five earths, five elements, earth, water. Let me get the right order. So we do it other way around. Ether, air, fire, water, earth. Sound, touch, sound, touch, sight, taste, and smell. Sight, form, Without light, you cannot see. And then skin. No, ears. Ether. Then air, skin. Then fire, eyes. And then water, tongue. And then earth, smell, nose. Yeah, that's 15. Then you have five working senses. Those you just have to memorize. Five working senses is speech. So the tongue has two functions, to taste and to vibrate. Speech, the arms to protect, working senses, like kshatriya. Then the legs to walk, brahmachari, is the legs of the movement. And then genitals and anus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's 23. You follow? 15 plus 5 is 20, plus mind, intelligence, ego, 23. And then sometimes they also count the soul, but that's not, it's not really, that could be 25. The 24th element is the three modes of material nature, or the unmanifested modes of material nature. And that is actually what we're discussing in this chapter. Huh? Yeah, that's how it's described in the 13th chapter. There's no time to look it up now. You can look it up later, but that's how it's described. Okay, are there any questions on that? Yeah? Well, the main, what I explain now is all in Bhagavad Gita. It's 13... Six and seven. No. I actually made this up. Yeah. But it makes complete sense, because I'm not just making it up. It's logic. Yeah, it's logic, and it's all. You can see that it checks out, you know. Yeah, let's get into the purport a little bit more, and then we'll finish. Yeah, 63. Because what I discovered in this Bhagavad Gita is that there is three sections. Beginning, middle, and end, 666. And generally the devotees, they very much focus on the first six chapters. And it is very logical, because it is also this ninth chapter, Rajaguja, Rajagujam, the king of all knowledge, king of all secrets. And then the tenth chapter is the Chaturshloki and knowledge of the absolute. And the ninth chapter has this Man Mana Abhava Matpakta, which is really the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then 11th chapter is universal form. And then 12th chapter is about devotional service. And then Krishna also explains, he says, you just fully, like Raga Nuga, he actually explains. And then he says, Sadhana Bhakti. And then he says, in America, he dumps it down. He says, if you cannot do that, then you work for me. If you cannot do that, then meditate on me. That's 12th chapter. And then 13th chapter, we just discussed. And then the 14th chapter is the three modes. And in those chapters, in the beginning of the chapters, he says, this is the more important knowledge, more higher knowledge than previous chapters. 13 and 14. 15 is Vedanta Sutra. It's about the Bhajan tree. It's a summary of the Vedanta Sutra. And then 16th chapter is the divine and demonic nature. 17th chapter is the conclusion, actually. 17th chapter, Prabhupada says, in the beginning of the 18th chapter, is the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But it says Bhagavad Gita actually has 17 chapters. And the 18th chapter is the summary again. So quick question, because we have to finish now.
Yes.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, I also was intrigued by that. Yeah, so what Prabhupada means is that Krishna is not a god, like that he's saying it for himself. Like I explained, that he's serving Arjuna. So he's saying it for our benefit. That's the point.
Because it is for his benefit also from the point of view that he's our
Yeah, I think it's a very general purport because he also speaks about Supreme Personality of Godhead and of God, and sometimes people think that God is doing things for himself. So he Prabhupada makes it very clear that in, specifically here, also because Krishna says that, yat cheshasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And we'd like to welcome Manu Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Bhagavad Gita Class Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Bhajan Basis Ki Jai.